and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
Imagination. Good morning and welcome into the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got Randy, we got you for a three-hour ride still to come. We will hear from Albert Breer, his thoughts about the Bears of the National Football League coming up at 8:35. But right now, time for Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the PointsBet app. Get the lightning bets, the same game, live in-game parlays, and a whole lot of cool player props and a lot of fun as the line moves. Plus, if you want to play the ponies, that'd be the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Good morning, Secretariat, wherever you are. Hope you're enjoying your morning. Thank you.
Here, how about that, Randy? You do your own sound effects. A little Ron Reagan.
That was impressive.
That? Like that? The old Reagan from back in the day. How about that?
Right. That's what he used to do.
How about to
call a Cubs game and hit a piece of wood, a block. Oh, crack of the bat. Line drive, base hit.
I'm reading from the ticker tape here.
That's what he did.
Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Good morning, boys. Hoodie? A little Monty Python there, smacking the coconuts together to make the horse sound. I love that.
Well, you got to do. Listen, man, I didn't know what was going on back there. I know that board is screwy, so that's why I'm here to help. See that? If nothing else, I help.
It's like the Big Lebowski. I'm out of my element, though.
All right, rock and roll.
Holy cow.
Got to get to it.
I know, man. I was going to get there. I was just finishing the joke. Let's get started with Shot or No Shot.
Please.
Justin Fields' rushing numbers are up to 746 yards for the season, putting him officially on pace to set the NFL record for quarterback rushing yards in a single season at 1,268 yards through 17 games. And he's on pace to do it with the exact same number of carries as Lamar Jackson had when he set the record in 2018. Shot or no shot? Justin Fields is the best running quarterback in the NFL.
That is a no shot. That's Lamar Jackson. The original.
I'm going to say, because he hasn't done it for a whole season, that's a no shot, but I'm trending in the direction of shot.
I'm with you.
Yes, because Lamar is more of a whirling dervish, spinning and eluding, and he's amazing when he gets in the open field.
Like
he doesn't do it as much. No. He doesn't do it as much as he used to. Justin is just power and top-end speed, man. Jalen Hurts is a good running quarterback as well.
Mitch
is a good running quarterback as well. The few times he can get on the field anymore. Kyler Murray is another one, but I would say right now I'd have to go with Lamar, but Justin is like trying to run him down at the top of the stretch.
Hey, Shay, all those numbers are proving that he's going to be that guy. Well, here's the thing. If he continues to be this, as far as him putting up more yardage than anybody running the football, that's problematic. That tells me that the offensive line isn't fixed and the weapons are not in place. I love that he has that in his game, though, for sure.
Well, yeah, and you like even with Lamar, when Lamar won the MVP and set the record for rushing yards, guess what happened? They got aced out in the playoffs because it's not really the most sustainable way to win games when the talent gets or when the opponent, you know, cream rises. And if you're just relying on quarterback running, it's not always the best way to win a championship. We really get to see it as like the primary method of offense in a championship team. But I do think Justin is the best rushing quarterback today, if I'm going to answer my own shot or no shot, because I think Lamar's lost a little bit of his explosiveness. The MVP season, he might have been the best running quarterback we've ever seen. Since then, I think he's lost a little bit on his legs, a lot of miles on Lamar.
Shay.
All right, the Bears' secondary has been a maligned unit this season, and part of that responsibility falls at the feet of Jalen Johnson. The third-year player is on pace to allow a passer rating north of 100 for the third straight season and has still only gotten one interception over three seasons with the Bears. Shot or no shot, Jalen Johnson should be getting nervous about his future in Chicago.
That's a no shot. He's still their most talented corner at this point. I think he was playing at 70%. And look, if you get on the field, I don't care if you're at 30%. If you line up and play and take the needle and take the Toradol, whatever it is you do, You got to play at a high standard or your people aren't going to go, well, you got beat for that 44-yard game from some guy from Bryant College because it's not healthy. No one cares. You're out there. Do your job.
I would say no shot. I think that Jalen Johnson shouldn't be worried because if the Bears did not cover him, I'm sure he would have been dealt as well because you can get more draft picks for him or it's a draft pick for him. So I would say that he is part of their future because, man, if you really want to tear it down, they could have traded him. Then you really have ineptitude in the secondary at the corner position because it would be what? It's Johnson on one side and Vildor?
Or Kyler Gordon.
Or Kyler Gordon.
He'll be over there.
Yeah. So I would say no shot. I think I'm not going to say I think the future is bright for Johnson here in Chicago.
I agree, and he's got to be healthy. Again, if the Bears finish this thing off at 3-14, 4-13, 5-12, I don't see them winning any more than that. There may be an ace corner. Like if Sauce Gardner is sitting in the draft, everyone went to last year, the Jets took a corner at 4?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's the best, maybe the best corner in football already. He's a rookie. So the Bears need one of those dudes.
Shay.
All right, I'm going to pivot back to Justin Fields for just a second because we'll talk more about this in an hour, but I want to ask a little bit about the narrative coming out that he deserves to be in the conversation for the most valuable player award, which I find a little premature. But I just want to ask, shot or no shot, Justin Fields is one of the 5 quarterbacks you would most want in football for the future.
Well, that's a shot because the future could be like the future probably for Shea is like the 3 to 5 years. Let's say it's 5 years because of his age, of course.
OK, say it one more time. He's the quarterback you most want, or you say top 5?
For the future. One of the 5 quarterbacks you most want going forward in the NFL.
But that's easy. That's one of the easiest questions you have ever asked. That's a shot.
Well, he didn't say how many years. I'm assuming the future could be 5 years. But for Shea, it could be 2 years.
Well, I would say probably 10.
For heaven's
sake. If you had a draft.
Make it shorter so that it's tougher.
If you had a draft right now, today, hey, every player at quarterback in the NFL is up, and you get them for the next 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 years, whatever that number is, Justin Fields is going in the top 5.
Correct.
Mahomes is going 1. Josh Allen, if healthy, is probably going 2. And we're talking long-term here. Well, they're not taking Aaron. They're not taking Tom.
Tua's in that conversation now.
Probably.
Tua is in that conversation. Jalen Hurts is in that conversation. Lamar is still in there.
I think Justin goes ahead of all those dudes. I think he goes 3rd.
Herbert?
Joe Burrow?
I forgot about him.
What about Herbert? Still in the mix.
Yeah, he is. I
know he's not the flavor that people talked about last year, but that guy still has a very bright future.
That's why there's rumors that Sean Payton could be the next coach of the Chargers. I would say it goes Mahomes, it goes Josh Allen, Joe Burrow might go 3rd. Justin Fields is in that top 5, in my opinion.
It's funny we didn't say Kenny Pickett.
No.
He's not in the team photo? No? Lamar in there? The next 10 years?
I don't know if I want Lamar for the next 2, to be honest.
Okay.
I'm a little nervous about losing the explosiveness, and he's never been the best passer on earth.
Yeah, you see, the reason why that's a pretty easy one for me, Cap, is because of the amount of veteran quarterbacks in this league. It's really about who's next in the NFL, right? Justin Fields is what's next.
Correct.
For the next 5 years.
You got C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis. There's a bunch of guys that are going to come into the league this offseason. We don't know who those guys are going to be.
Shay.
All right, I want to ask about a Texas man who got a hell of a gift for his 100th birthday. His daughter took him out to a strip club. Photos posted online showed this man turning 100, celebrating the occasion with his head buried in a stripper's chest. Another photo showed him wearing an admiral's hat and kissing a stripper's chest while 5 other strippers surrounded him. Shot or no shot, this is the best birthday present from your daughter ever.
That is a shot.
He's 100 and he's at a strip club? God bless him.
Yes.
And I want to meet the daughter because she sounds like the coolest person out there. What are you doing for your dad's 100th? I'm taking him to a strip club. That's amazing.
Yes. And, of course, if it's you, you're asking, hey, what are you doing afterwards?
Correct.
The daughter, of course. Of course, the daughter.
I thought you meant if I was the 100-year-old guy.
No. If you think she's cool, you definitely want to deal with her. If you do that for your dad, what would you do that? What would you do for me? I'm sure that's going through your mind.
Correct.
You're unbelievable.
I got a birthday this week.
Okay, no buried chest for you in a strip club. No.
It says here the dad, Jack, his daughter told TMZ, ooh, her father loves two things in life. Women generally and boobs specifically. So a strip joint made perfect sense for his 100th birthday.
I think that's awesome. I think that is awesome.
Yeah, good for her. You know, because, listen, she still is in touch with her dad to know what her dad likes.
Yeah.
So, you know, good for him. Like, now, here's the thing. That keeps you young. He's going to be around for another 5 years now.
Maybe this. 10. Yeah, you get some renewed stamina.
a little blue chew, a little stripper, and then who knows? Champagne room. Who knows? Maybe that's next for the old timer. Are you looking up the place?
I am.
All right. What's the matter with you, Cap? No, you can't go. We go around the National Football League. We have a tearful quarterback.
The dad wore a jacket and tie there.
Back after this on Cap and Jay Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come, and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's time to go around the National Football League. Cap and Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000. Streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, still to come. Albert Breer will be with us. Love to talk to Albert because he gives us the information about the Bears and the NFL. But let's go around the NFL. A number of things to get to. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Yeah, let's start with the Las Vegas Raiders because there's a lot to talk about here. They're 2-7, and their quarterback got a little emotional after their latest loss. Listen to this.
Sorry for being emotional. I'm just pissed off about some of the things, you know, that a lot of us try and do just to practice what we put our bodies through just to sleep at night. And for that to be the result of all that effort pisses me off. Pisses a lot of guys off. It's hard knowing what some guys are doing, like I said, just to practice what they're putting in their body just to sleep at night. Like, just so we could be there for each other. And I wish everybody in that room felt the same way about this place. And as a leader, that pisses me off, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, so Derek Carr completely upset, not just because the Raiders lost to Jeff Saturday with no experience to the Colts, but just, as you heard, taking a shot at some of his teammates as well, feeling like they are not on the same page. You heard that, right?
That they're not all in is what he's saying.
Yep.
Like, back to Yurko, who I brought up earlier. Yurko talked about having his little tackle box that had different pain pills in it. And he said, they're telling you you can't smoke weed to take the pain off your body, give you an edge to sleep. But you can, take all these opioids. No problem. And Derek Carr is saying, the things we put in our bodies, to what Yurko has spoken eloquently about, how tough it is on your body. He still feels it today. So does Tommy. And Derek Carr obviously is selling out to do whatever it takes to get through the pain and get on the field. And it does not sound like the rest of the locker room is like that.
It's, he put his soul out there to the press. He didn't have to. But it upset him greatly. Like, everyone's on the same page. We're 2-7. We know we work hard. We take pills to get through this.
Yeah.
Pretty much said that, Shay.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's Toradol or whatever it is, Somos, whatever it is to try to get right. He just let everyone know, we're trying hard. We just are not very good.
Well, and I heard Ryan Clark on ESPN yesterday say, taking things to help yourself sleep, taking Toradol to get on the field. That's just life in the NFL. That's just the reality of doing it, and you're telling people about that. What I thought was more interesting about this, what does this say about the situation going on with the Raiders? Because last year, this was a team that rallied around Rich Bisaccia, that made a run after the Gruden debacle, got to the wild card, gave the Bengals everything the Bengals could take, and then went and got Devontae Adams this offseason. This was supposed to be a Super Bowl team. Now you're 2-7, and your quarterback's out there going, yeah, we got guys who aren't buying in. What is this telling you about Josh McDaniels?
It tells me that if they can't get this turned around, McDaniels will never be a head coach in the NFL again.
There's no way they're firing him after this year. I'll be stunned.
Well, they certainly aren't, because Al Davis spoke on his behalf and said Rome isn't built in a day. Mark Davis.
Al's dead.
Mark Davis spoke on his behalf.
I'm dead, but I believe in the coach Josh McDaniels.
The voice of God rang out.
I believe in the coach Josh McDaniels.
And tell my son his haircut's horrible.
By the way,
his haircut is horrible.
Randy still has Al Davis's number in his phone, by the way. Just so you know.
I've talked to him one time when the Raiders were in the Super Bowl against Tampa, called him in the hotel.
And did he come on?
He wouldn't do it. He said, if I do it for you, I got to do it for everyone, so I'm telling everyone.
I don't want to do it for everybody. Randy, so no, I can't do it. So
I did give him at the end. I said, Al, and he said, what? I said, just win, baby. I did at the end. He left.
That's incredible.
That is incredible.
Mark Davis said, I like Josh. He's doing a fantastic job. End quote.
Okay.
Fantastic?
Well, I mean, he's going to try to put a good face on it. It's a tough situation.
He knows more than we do.
All right, Jay.
The other big story in the NFL, of course, was the Colts hiring of Jeff Saturday. Now, he did win in his first game against the Raiders, but Bill Cowher and Rex Ryan both spoke about what the hiring meant to them. Especially Bill Cowher, I think, was very strong. Listen to this.
What about the assistants on the staff right now? The guys that were there in training camp, the guys that were there early in the morning and late at night, the guys that have gone through the first 6 weeks in that building. Guys like Gus Bradley, Scotty Montgomery, John Fox, don't they deserve the opportunity for an owner to hire a coach who's never been an assistant at the college level or the pro level and overseeing very much a lot of candidates that are qualified for that job, as we see in Steve Wilks, an opportunity to build a resume? It's a disgrace to the coaching profession. Mm. And regardless how this thing plays out, what happened in Indianapolis is a travesty.
CBS allowed Bill Cowher that time. It went on for like another 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But it was like a thing where it's like Boomer's quiet, JB's quiet. You had the floor. Now, there's more. Let's hear now from Rex Ryan, because he had some things to say about his former teammate at ESPN. Sat next to him. Rex Ryan.
The hire is what I scratched my head on, especially the timing of it. To me, I just know the work that I had to put in to get a job like that. I was blessed to get an opportunity to see guys like a Mike Westhoff, who coached for 50 years, to see, you know, a whole list of guys that have put in the time, put in the work, and you're sleeping in the office 2-3 times a week and not to get it. This doesn't look like it's hard to do, because Jeff steps in, and it doesn't look as difficult as it is. Being a head coach in the NFL is unbelievable how hard it is. But I'm happy for Jeff, because you're right. There's nobody that can say a bad word about Jeff Saturday. And I certainly don't look down on Jeff for accepting the job.
Mm. What do you think about that, Cap?
Yeah, I don't have the outrage that everyone else does. If I was ever to be able to buy a team, and I'm not going to get to that point in my life, I'm okay with that. But if I did, and I want to hire you out of the broadcast booth to coach it, that's my team. That's my business. I don't care about some pecking order. Well, John Fox has had plenty of opportunities to be a head coach.
Yes.
He's not a head coach anymore. Gus Bradley had his chances. He failed. So because they're in the building 18 hours a day, they chose that lifestyle, not me. And if Jim Irsay says, I want Jeff Saturday to coach my football team on an interim basis and see how he does, F off. I own the team. I'm hiring who I want. There's not some, well, these guys, what about this one? Mike Westhoff. Mike Westhoff gets paid very well to be the special teams coordinator. Yeah. If Mike Westhoff doesn't like that job, then quit and go deliver pizzas or work at UPS or start your own business and make billions and make yourself a head coach. I got no problem that Jim Irsay decided it's my billion-dollar franchise. I'll put in there who I want. Take that.
Well, I would say that when it comes to
Bill Cowher.
Well, Bill Cowher says that it's a disgrace to the coaching fraternity.
Well, F the coaching fraternity. And I was one of those guys.
How could you say that? You're a coach, Cap. Wow.
Whoa, how come I didn't get a chance? I've been living in the office for 15 years coaching. Too bad.
I actually agree with Cap. I'm going to be honest.
Of course you do. Go ahead.
And I almost never do. But in this moment, I really truly agree with him. Because I think initially you go, oh, they hired the mailman, right? Like, we knew nothing about Jeff Saturday being close to the team. And then it comes out, well, he's on the phone three times a week with Irsay. He's in the film room. He's been in the locker room as a special consultant. He's talked with the players. He's been around this team. Like, they're not just bringing this guy in off the street. You find out he's been around. Now, I think he definitely surpassed some people that maybe deserve a more fair shot. But at the end of the day, you're hiring an interim guy. And if these guys, like Wilkes, like other guys on that in that staff, want to get out of there, get out of there. Feel free, because they will be hiring candidates throughout the league, and there will be openings. I think a lot of coaches are going to get fired this offseason.
Well, let me just say this, and I know the other side of this is the minority hiring, the Rooney Rule, and saying, how could you hire your buddy if you're Jim Irsay? Why do you hire your buddy Jeff Saturday? My side of that is, if I'm Reggie Wayne, I don't want that job. I don't. If on an interim basis, that means interim means that I'm not going to have it forever. Interim means that it's probably just for the season.
Correct.
So when people have the hue and cry about minority hiring, do that when it's relevant. For this is just a shot in the dark. Saturday could be back on ESPN by the playoffs or next season. I don't know if he's going to be the coach moving forward, but at this point in time, I wouldn't want that job. That sounds like a mess right now.
Right.
Saturday could turn it around in which the team could be better. But that team's not destined for a deep playoff run. Just isn't.
We don't think so. No. But what would happen if they hired Reggie Wayne as the interim coach? And they go, whatever, he won three games. And they hang around. And then they said, yeah, we decided we had launched the search and we hired Lincoln Riley from USC.
Right.
He's our new coach. Oh, why didn't you give the minority candidate a better chance? Well, we made him the interim coach and we decided to go.
Yeah.
Hire Reggie Wayne and give him a head coaching job.
That's exactly right.
Here's a 5-year deal.
Right.
Here's what it pays. You're my head coach.
If you feel he's qualified, go ahead and do that. But if I'm a candidate that wants a head coaching job, I don't want that one right now because it's still in flux. So we're in the middle of the season. So I'm good.
Yeah.
Let it be Jeff Saturday. Yeah. That's fine.
I was really disappointed in Bill Cowher, Gus Bradley, and John Fox.
I love Mike Westhoff.
Fox. Mike Westhoff.
Randy, give me Westhoff.
He's retired now. He just wrote a book.
Yeah. Who did?
Mike Westhoff.
You got a number, Mike Westhoff?
I might.
Yeah. Randy's got a number for everybody.
Like, I got no issues with it, man. You buy a multi-billion-dollar franchise or you get one, you'd hire who the hell you want.
Give me Fox John. Look him up in the hotel. Let me that. Go ahead, Shay.
Fox.
All right, I got one more to ask you. Hoodie, I got to give you your props. You and I were the stars aligned for us on Friday in the picks. The Packers will beat the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Lockstep.
No
they
question.
Did. So, I want to ask you both. Who does this say more about, this result? Does it say more about the Packers, or does it say more about the Cowboys?
It says more about the Cowboys in that Mike McCarthy is really poor in making decisions late in games. There he goes, Cap. 9 a.m. He comes out there with that big mustard coat. There he was. You see him? You see him out there? Lambeau Field. I used to coach here. Big mustard coat. Try to look like Lombardi, right? All you need was a fedora. I used to coach here. Yeah. Packers beat your ass. You know why? You know why Rodgers and the Packers have struggled? Late game situations. Trying to figure out what to play. When are you supposed to call timeouts? That was a McCarthy issue. And the Cowboys got to deal with that now. So that's more of a Cowboys-McCarthy issue, more so than anything else.
Completely agree. Did not say anything more about the Packers, although they could get on a little bit of a run here. Schedule's a little more favorable. They get the Bears coming up in a few weeks. Yeah. I think Dallas has a lot of talent there, and they're underachieving. Now, do they need a second wide receiver? Yeah, they screwed up letting Amari Cooper go. Where is he now?
Cleveland.
Yeah. They screwed up. Now they need to sign Odell Beckham Jr.
You know what else? As good as Micah Parsons is, you can run on that team. 207 yards on the ground yesterday for Green Bay. Only 20 pass attempts. As good as Micah Parsons in that defense, that secondary is, you can run on that team.
Big mustard coat. There he was, Cap.
See him when he slammed the headphones down? He was so mad to lose that game.
I used to coach here.
You're out.
You're out.
How about that?
Get out.
And this is a problem, too, in the NFL. You mentioned, like, they slammed me the headphones. Saw it two or three times.
Sirianni did it last night.
Stop. Be an adult.
Correct.
Hold on to your headphones. Listen to what's going on.
I remember I was coaching. I was the assistant, and I took this clipboard, and I snapped it in two. I was so mad. And our head coach goes, great, we don't have another clipboard. Grow up. He was so pissed at me.
Albert Breer of the NFL and the Bears next on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap and J-Hood, mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and J-Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
What Bert is it?
From SI.com and the Monday Morning Quarterback, it is Albert Breer with us on Cap and J-Hood every Tuesday at 8:35, right here in Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. Albert, good morning.
Morning. What's up, buddy?
You know what's up. In your wildest Ohio State dream, did you ever think that Justin Fields would be this dynamic running the football at quarterback?
You know, to be honest with you, we didn't really see it in college like this.
Right.
Like, we didn't see them lean into him him running the ball this much. There were a couple reasons why. Number one, like in 2019, when he first became a starter, they had such a depth issue at quarterback because once Fields transferred in, a couple other kids transferred out, that they had to be really careful about managing him and not getting him hurt. And through doing it that way, Justin evolved into a really, really good college passer, right? So then, you come back to the COVID year of 2020, and you still didn't see as much of it. And then when you did, he had the cracked ribs in the semifinal. And so, I think there were, it was that. It was also, Ryan Day's offense and kind of what Ryan Day wants out of his quarterback. So we never really saw Justin Fields unleash in this way. But you saw glimpses. Like, you knew he was capable of being electric in that phase of the game. And, certainly I think now, with the reins off, we're seeing what he can be. And, I think now it's sort of on Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy to manage that in a way where they're not putting his health at risk. But there's no question it's been spectacular to watch.
Albert, if you look at that team right now, they have an awful offensive line. When they had to drop him back in the pocket when Detroit stopped having their two ends late in the game, rush up the field where Justin could kind of slide up the pocket, climb that ladder, and then boom, he's gone. Now he's fenced in. They can't protect him. So what do you think is most important to add to this offense in the offseason? Elite $80 million left tackle? Wide receiver number one? What is it?
I still think it's offensive linemen in general, And I think, if you can find a left tackle, great. There was one out there last year, and I know this doesn't get a lot of attention with the impact Tyreek Hill's made in Miami, but Teron Armstead's been one of the best left tackles in football for, the last 5, 6, 7 years. And, the Dolphins going and getting him solved a lot of issues for them offensive line-wise, where they struck out on some draft picks. They looked like, in some ways, like the Bears did, and the fact that they'd invested some in the offensive line and a lot of it hadn't worked out. Then you go and you get an elite left tackle, and all of a sudden a lot of other pieces fall into place, And so I think you can use an example in Miami, what they did for Tua there. and say, if we can just find a way to get that position taken care of, and then, you know, augment elsewhere in the offense, it's probably going to mean more than adding one receiver will mean. Now, again, like Miami did both, so if you can do both, that's great. But I would say taking care of the offensive line is probably the first thing you need to do.
We were just talking earlier about the hire of Jeff Saturday, and we replayed comments from Rex Ryan. That's funny. I thought Jeff Saturday worked for ESPN. Guess not. Rex Ryan making these bold opinions. Same thing with Bill Cowher on CBS. What was your initial reaction to the hire of Jeff Saturday with the Colts?
Well, it's twofold. Hoodie, I think the one end of it is I can understand like why there'd be a lot of skepticism over this, and throwing a guy into the middle of an NFL season, and I think I used this line with you last week, like literally have to tell him what buttons to push on the headset, you know, and like just rolling the dice that way in the middle of a season with so many people's careers in the line, right? Like, so assistant coaches, obviously their careers are in flux because their boss just got fired. Players, you know, like every single season matters to a player because you only get so many in the NFL. And so, you know, I think I understand the criticism from that perspective. The flip side is I'm curious to see how this works, you know, and I think there's a little job protectionism that goes on with these things sometimes where there are only 32 of those jobs and there's sort of, you know, a club that's got like access to that. And, you know, the people who are inside that club want to keep that club exclusive. And I think you saw that with Chip Kelly, right? Like, 10 years ago when Chip Kelly came into the NFL, there were a lot of people rooting against him, right? And a lot of people saying there's no way what he does in the NFL will work and, you know, just sort of mocking it. Well, why? Well, because if it had worked, like how much would that have opened doors for so many people at the college level who are doing different things to the NFL, right? It would have created a lot more job opportunities for guys that normally wouldn't be getting those job opportunities, which would mean less for the people who are inside that club. And even people still talk about him like he was a failure. He wasn't. He won 10 games 2 years in a row, and a lot of people are doing the things that he brought to the NFL still 10 years later. And I think the same sort of thing goes on here. The same sort of job protectionism goes on here, where if all of a sudden it's, you know, owners realize, like, holy crap, like hiring an ex-player, like a Deion Sanders, say, who doesn't have any NFL coaching experience, can work the way it works in, say, basketball or baseball, well, then, you know, that's going to make things tougher for people who are inside the club, too. So those are the two things. So, you know, that's a long-winded answer, but obviously it's a complex thing. You know, number one, I understand, you know, for people internally inside the Colts organization, why there'd be a lot of concern over doing this. But, you know, on the flip side, I am curious to see how it works because could open the door for more hires like this.
We're talking to Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com. Who is the team right now that if you had to put your chips on them, because Buffalo certainly doesn't look like that team, the Eagles didn't look like that team last night. Is there a team out there? It could be a long shot. The Bengals a year ago at this time were like 80-1, and they ended up almost winning the Super Bowl. Is there a team on your radar like that?
I mean, I would have said Minnesota a few weeks ago, but I guess the cat's out of the bag on that.
Right.
You know, I think the Vikings are, you know, really well built, you know, and I think they're sort of in this, like, sweet spot where they still have all the discipline that Zimmer instilled over all of those years, but, you know, now you're coming out of that and the guys are playing free and all the rest of it. So, you know, I think they're sort of in a sweet spot. As far as like a team that could do what Cincinnati did last year and make a real run at the Super Bowl that you wouldn't see coming, that's tough.
Not in this NFL. It's so wide open.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, you look at like Baltimore, right? Like, so Baltimore, they add Roquan Smith and, you know, they've got like an issue at receiver, but if they bring in like Odell and then Odell, like, shows himself to be healthy, could they be one? Like, they're sort of interesting. I still believe in Buffalo, guys. I know that sounds crazy, but, and we can discuss that more, but I still believe that the Bills are going to be there at the end. Tampa, I think, you know, they found something in that game against the Rams, and it certainly carried over to the game in Germany. It is just so wide open right now. You know, I'm just sort of going through the divisions in my head. You know, even like a Green Bay, could they come back now if those rookie receivers, like Christian Watson played great on Sunday, if Romeo Doubs comes back healthy in a few weeks, now all of a sudden do they have something? I think this year is like as good an example as I've ever seen maybe of how, you know, you get to November and it really is going to be about who gets hot now, you know, because I don't know that you have, you know, a group of three or four teams that are so established. Now, that said, in the AFC, I would still say Kansas City and Buffalo are the two teams that are, you know, probably going to be there at the end. I still put them as the top tier. And then I think Baltimore and Cincinnati are right underneath them. But, yeah, I'd say if you're, you know, a team like the Giants or a team like the Cowboys, like you could certainly look at it here and say this is definitely like a why not us type of year.
Albert Breer with us here from Monday Morning Quarterback. The Bears get ready to take on the Falcons. We'll talk about that. Also, Bill Belichick calls for challenges under 2 minutes. We'll discuss that with Albert Breer coming up next. You're listening to Cap and Jay Hood, mornings 7 to 10.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Albert Breer's with us here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 on the ESPN Chicago app. Albert, Bill Belichick wants coaches' challenges allowed with under 2 minutes. Listen, you know, for those that complain about the time of games, there was a time where you out east would go, you'd be 1 to 4 o'clock when the game would over, maybe 3:45. The games are longer now because there's more replays and there's more commercials. I'm okay with it as long as I'm entertained. Some complain that, oh, we can't have more challenges. I'm fine with it as long as they get it right.
Well, here's the thing, Hoodie, and I made this argument, too, when people said, like, well, let's not make pass interference challengeable. Let's not make this or that challengeable. I think everything should be challengeable. And I actually don't think it's going to make games longer. I think it'll actually make some games quicker because if you're a coach and you know you can challenge something in the last 2 minutes of the game, what are you going to do? You're going to be more conservative about challenging earlier, right? Mm-hmm. So I actually think the overall effect could mean there are less challenges. You're going to be – if you know you can challenge a pass interference call or you know you can challenge a you know, play in the last 2 minutes or you know you can challenge one of these consequential roughing the passer calls, well, you know, like then I'm going to be – if I'm a coach, I'm going to be a lot less – I'm going to be a lot less liberal about, you know, about challenging, say, a guy's foot being out of bounds in the second quarter, right? So I just think, like, I generally agree with Belichick on this sort of stuff, and I think it's a fair thing to think about, you know, like, should the coach have the ability, if he wants, to hold on to his challenges and use them in those sorts of spots, regardless of whether or not they can challenge, they can make that call from upstairs. You know, I don't think it's a bad idea at all.
Let me ask you a question. Can the Commanders, who are going to activate Chase Young, can they get on a little bit of a run and get in the playoffs?
Well, I'm looking at their schedule, and I think they have the Texans this week, right?
They have, they have the Texans, then the Falcons, then the Giants. Yeah.
They have the Giants twice, sandwiching a bye,
yep.
Right? Then they have the Niners on Christmas Eve. That's tough. Then they have the Browns, who could be playing out the string at that point. So, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's impossible to get in the playoffs, you know? And I think that's what makes, like, the call that they're going to have to make a quarterback, I think, that much more complicated.
You got
to
stick with this kid, Heineke.
I think so, too. I mean, like, I honestly, it's tough because you invested in the other guy. You invested in Carson Wentz. But, I mean, like, I think anybody who's watching can see the way the team rallies around him, how hard he plays, how the offense moves. Like, I think that's the biggest thing, right? Like, the offense looked a little disjointed with Carson Wentz in there. It looks like it's running smooth with Taylor Heineke in there. Here's the other benefit, guys. Like, you guys know there's that draft pick thing, too, mm-hmm. right? So if Carson Wentz doesn't play 70% of the snaps, now all of a sudden you're sending a 3 instead of a 2 – to Indianapolis for him. So you actually have a draft pick benefit too by leaving him on the bench. To me, I think it's complicated because of what you the decision you made in the off season. But I look at the way that the team's played and the way the team's rallied around Taylor Heinicke, and just from a football standpoint, I don't think it's that tough a decision.
What's in your phone, Albert? Give us something that you haven't told anyone else that's going around in the NFL or college.
Yeah, I had this in my column last night, so I apologize for it's not being exclusive for the show this week. But the Browns are going to start giving. The Browns are actually going to give Deshaun Watson first team reps this week, and he's not eligible to return for another 20 days. But they want to get him in the huddle. They want his teammates to hear his voice. They want his teammates to get used to his cadence. They want him to get reacclimated to the speed, getting in and out of the huddle, running the offense. And so, I think that that's going to wind up becoming, an interesting story over the course of the next couple of weeks. I think the Browns have to win at least one of the next two to really stay in it.
Why does he deserve first-team reps? Why?
Because they're all
in. I think it's about what's best for the team, buddy. And right now, I think if they're going to have any shot at getting in the playoffs, it's going to have to be because Deshaun Watson got hot down the stretch and the team basically ran the table with him at quarterback. I think that's the chance they have to make the playoffs. And so, they have, I believe, Buffalo this week,
right?
I'd argue probably this isn't a great time to be getting the Bills, right? Mm-hmm. Then they get the Bucks after that. Mm-hmm. If they can find a way to split those two, now I think we're talking about potentially a team that's positioned to go on a run, because I think at that point you'd be 4-7, and the team that has the last playoff spot in the AFC right now, I believe, has 4 losses. So that could be 5 losses, 6 losses by the time we get there, and so you're still sort of in shooting range of getting to the getting yourself into the playoffs. And I just think that this for Kevin Stefanski is about getting Deshaun Watson ready to go, because the best shot they're going to have at getting into the playoffs is, Deshaun Watson getting hot down the stretch and them running the table.
So I'm clear. The first game that he'll play, you think it's the Buccaneers or the Texans?
No. He plays the Texans. So he's not eligible. He can practice. The first day he's eligible to practice is going to be tomorrow. He'll get some first team reps. Not very many, but he'll get some first team reps. Then Joey Brissett will start this week. He'll start next week. Then Deshaun Watson will start in Houston. I think it's December 4th.
Yeah. It is the 4th.
Yeah.
Boy, what's that going to look like?
I mean, in Houston, too. It's kind of crazy. Man. You know what I mean? Yeah. The whole thing is, it feels like it's almost like nothing the NFL does is by mistake. I've always felt that way, but this is a weird coincidence. I'm not sure. In a certain way, it almost feels like the NFL saying here, we're not gonna spare you what it's gonna be like for you down there in Houston. You have to go out there. This is gonna be your first game back.
Albert, Washington's 50-1 to win the NFC. 50-1. I'm playing it.
And you're Taylor, and you're playing it, believing in Taylor Heinicke as the quarterback, right?
It's a bad NFC. They could absolutely, they can win 10 ball games.
Dude, I actually like Heinicke. I don't know what it is about him, but there's just something about him where you can tell the team loves him. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you can tell they believe in him, and he just has a way of making plays. And there's not. Like I said, I said this last night on my Twitter Live. I'm sure you were watching, right, Huddy?
Yeah, always.
But I think he's the perfect bridge quarterback, right? He's the perfect guy to have for a couple of years to help you get to whoever the next guy is going to be, because he's going to fight his ass off. The team's going to rally around him. And he's got just enough arm, just enough playmaking ability to keep things interesting.
All right, we got to roll. Have a great day.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right. Sorry, John.